Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear these words in our gospel reading for today. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. People at least 400 years before Jesus heard those words penned by the prophet Zechariah. They heard that a king was coming, that he would be humble and mounted on a donkey. And then here, finally 400 years after that prophecy is written, he comes to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey in fulfillment of those words. But he didn't look much like a king, especially when, less than a week later, the king was impaled on wooden beams, beaten and bloody, with a crown not of gold but of thorns. It looked like a mockery of him. It didn't look like the king had come to them, to the daughter of Zion, to the people of Jerusalem, the people of God. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Perhaps the daughter of Zion, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, needed to look for another king, someone better, someone who looked more like a king. But this was the king. This king triumphed over the greatest enemies, their sin, death, and the devil that wants to take every last person with him to eternal fire. This king defeated those enemies. Other kings may have had temporary victories over enemies throughout Israel's history, but this king defeated the greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. And by being punished for us on the cross, after having lived a perfect, sinless life, and then going to the cross to pay the price in your place, in my place, and in the place of the people of Jerusalem for their sins, he won for us the privilege of being born again into his kingdom, to be his subjects, and for him to be our gracious king, for us to be his very own people. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. And behold, this king came to even you. This wasn't just for the people of Jerusalem, that just at that time their king would come to them in the past. But the daughter of Zion also refers to the people of God in all times and all places. It includes you as well, because you've been baptized into Christ, and by your baptism you've been made a subject of this gracious king. Because of his death, you could be washed in your baptism and adopted into his family, his name put on you, and you could become an heir of his kingdom. So when it says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, it's speaking to you as well today, not just to the people of a past time. And so the people of God today, you need to be told still, we need to be to hear, behold, your king is coming to you, because in fact, he is still coming. He came to you in your baptism and washed you. He came to you when you heard the word for the first time. He came to you whenever you received the Lord's Supper, and he still comes to you today as you hear his word, as you receive his gifts. But you are also looking forward to another coming, when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, as we confessed in the Creed. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Say to New Hope Lutheran Church, behold, your king is coming to you. He's coming again on the clouds with power and great glory to gather all his redeemed, all the subjects of his kingdom. And we, his people, long for this coming. We long to be in the house of the Lord and to worship him forever. We long to be done with sin and with death. We long to be clothed in white robes with palm branches in our hands not in old Jerusalem here, but with palm branches in our hands in the new Jerusalem. The subjects of this king long for the kingdom of God to come. We who have been redeemed from slavery to sin and transferred to the king from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of our Lord Jesus Christ, we long to see that kingdom in all its glory, in all its fullness on the last day. And so we rejoice to hear, "Behold, your king is coming to you." And we say, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Amen, come now to save and deliver us." As we, the church, begin a new year, we look forward to our king coming again. That's the ultimate that we hope for. It isn't just that we fulfill any New Year's resolutions. It isn't just that we make our own reality better by our own might and strength. We are looking forward to our Lord to come and to rescue us, because then in Him we will no longer have our own sin. We will no longer live in the midst of sin. We will no longer have death and disease and mortality. We will look forward to life forever. Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you." But not only on the last day is our king coming to us. As I've already pointed out, our king is coming to us now. Our king comes now in his body and blood and is truly present for you on this altar. He's truly coming into your mouths for the forgiveness of your sins. He's truly coming here to give you life and salvation, to strengthen you in faith toward him and in love toward others as you await his coming again in glory. Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you." He comes to you personally and individually when Jesus' body is given to you, when your name is spoken, when you know that the king of the universe, here at this table, the king of the universe comes to you. Your king who has died and shed his blood, shed this blood for you. And this king comes into you, into your mouth and says, "Your sins are forgiven. I love you. I care for you. You belong to me." Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you." And what's our response? The response of the daughter of Zion, the people of God. It is what was said on Palm Sunday and what we sing in the Sanctus on page 9 of your bulletin, shortly before our King comes to us in his body and blood. We will sing today, before our Lord comes to us in his body and blood, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." Our King Jesus Christ does not remain far away from us. He comes to us now in the name of the Lord, with the authority of God. He comes to us as a king who is blessed with the favor of Almighty God, for he comes to suffer and to die and to win for us the favor of God. And we cry to that one, to this one who cares for us, "Hosanna," which means "save us." We cry out to be saved before our King comes to us in his body and blood. And he does save us here. As we cry out, "Hosanna," he saves us. He rescues us. He gives you the forgiveness of sins. That's how he rescues his people and sustains them and strengthens them. Not by giving them armies, military, and power, but he saves them by strengthening them. And the power he gives is the power of his Holy Spirit to resist the temptations of Satan. Say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you." Yes, fellow redeemed, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, your king is coming to you. He's coming to you here, now, in his body and blood, and he is coming again on the clouds with power and great glory on the last day. And in response, we long to have him here in his body and blood. We long here to have a taste of the foretaste of the feast to come when he comes again on the last day. We long to be forever with him in the New Jerusalem. And so in response to the words, "Behold, your king is coming to you," we reply with the people on Palm Sunday. We reply with the saints of many generations. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.